On September 11, 2001, Rudolph Giuliani was still the mayor of New York City. Term limits were about to force him from office, but he was no lame duck. In the weeks that followed, Mayor Giuliani led the city through its season of grief and repair. And while doing so, Giuliani maintained the admiration of New Yorkers who had voted for him, and he won over many who had voted enthusiastically against him. Now, he leads a security consulting firm, and he's published a book about his principles of leadership, principles like Be Your Own Man. He says he was forced to be his own man from the start.
I was born and lived within a mile of Ebbets Field when the Dodgers, you know, dominated Brooklyn. And my father had come from Manhattan, my mother from Brooklyn. My mother required him to live in Brooklyn, and his revenge was to make me a Yankee fan in the middle of Dodger Town. And it meant constantly having to stand up for the team that I rooted for, including having to have knowledge of the statistics, the batting averages, the earned run averages. I can literally remember that the reason I learned math was so I could do batting averages. Mm-hmm. So it has always made me very aware of the fact that, you know, you've got to stand up for what you believe in. You also have to prepare. And it also has helped me understand how you entice children into enjoying education. You have to find the things that work for them. In my case, it was baseball. In some other cases, it might be art or it might be music. Mm-hmm. But you have to find the things that encourage them to want to learn more.
Because I have a lot of friends whom I grew up with in New York who would say that if you were a Yankees fan in Brooklyn, you were destined to be a Republican.
Do you think that's right? See, I was a Democrat first, and then I became an independent, and then I became a Republican. I went through the transition that was similar for two of my heroes, Winston Churchill and Ronald Reagan. Politics shifted, and my thinking has shifted.
You know, your name came up on NPR's Morning Edition today in a story about the handcuffing of Andrew Fastow, the Enron executive, as
right.
He was arrested. And the Rudy Giuliani white-collar perp walk was cited, something that you had subjected some people to when you were a prosecutor. And it struck me that shame, the idea of shame, is something that's very important to you, as it regulates conduct.
It does. You know, the easiest place to see it is drunk driving. It has an impact on other people who would not think of it if they didn't read in the newspapers about some prominent person who just got arrested for drunk driving or some celebrity who just got arrested for it. There are certain forms of human conduct that are deterrable, and white-collar crime is particularly amenable to that because it's more deliberate, it's more thought out, it's more planned, and the people who commit it literally have more to lose in terms of their reputations most often.
After reading your account of your own style of leadership, I found myself wondering this. What if Rudy Giuliani had not had prostate cancer, had remained in the race for U.S. Senate in 2000, and had beaten Hillary Rodham Clinton, let's say? Do you think you could be satisfied being one senator in 100, voting on things instead of making executive decisions, and compromising routinely in order to get a bill out of committee and onto the floor?
Well, that's very, very interesting because I usually don't think that way, which is what if something else happened or after I made the decision that I couldn't run for the Senate because of prostate cancer, I said, I'm not going to look back. The evening and day after Hillary won, beat Rick Lazio, I thought about it. I wondered, if I had run, would I have won or lost? And I actually decided I couldn't figure that out. And then after September 11, I did find myself thinking, well, maybe there's some plan here. I mean, maybe, you know, if I had won.
You wouldn't have been mayor at that time.
I wouldn't have had and the city would not have had an experienced administration that had been, you know, working at this through trial and error, meaning handling emergencies for 7 3/4 years. Had I gone to the Senate, that would not have been the case. And whether,
but apart from where you would have been, would you have been happy?
I think I would have.
I
consider myself a very adaptable person. My mother taught me that. Aside from being mayor for 8 years, I never held a job more than 5 years. I like to move on from one challenge to another. So, yes, I think it could have been very fulfilling to be in the Senate.
Do you assume, while I understand that you're completely committed and enthusiastic about what you're doing now in business, do you assume this is a period in between periods of public service and that one way or the other you'll be back in government at some point?
I think that's correct. I don't know that I assume it or know it, because mm-hmm. I don't think you know what the future is going to be. But if you ask me to sort of make predictions about my own knowledge of myself, I think there will be a time in which I'll want to be back, you know, directly involved in politics and in government, either elected or appointed. But right now, this is very, very valuable thing for me. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of growth involved. The writing of the book, I hesitate to describe it this way, but it's, you know, it was like a form of therapy. The actual writing of it and analysis of it, which I did with help from Ken Kersen. I mean, a lot of our sessions together were trying to examine the root of why I did things in certain ways. So it was enormously helpful to me.
After reading your book, I tried to recall if there had been any decisions or strategies of yours that you thought about, wrote about, and said, I was wrong about that. That was a mistake. I learned from this mistake, but I was wrong. And there aren't that many moments. There aren't that many times when you say, that was my Boer War, if I had been Churchill or something. None at all. You're describing success after success after success.
First of all, it was a pretty successful administration. Right? That's just the reality of it. We took a city that people didn't want to live in, turned it into a city that people overwhelmingly wanted to live in.
No, I'm not talking about a big picture judgment. I just meant instances or moments when you said, you know, that thing I did, and that was
absolutely
bad. Yes.
Yeah, there are several. The first several illustrations of that in the book, and then there are several of those that that I'll probably put in a future book. The establishment of the Administration for Children's Services, which we go into some detail about in the book, I always viewed as having been a mistake because I didn't decide to do that earlier. And it took the tragic death by brutality of a young girl named Elisa Izquierdo to get my attention. I did not decide to create a separate agency for children. In fact, I thought it should remain the way it was within the Welfare Administration. That was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I had to admit that it was a mistake and change it. It's impossible not to make mistakes. You do. And then the other thing my mother would always teach me was that human beings make mistakes. The real question is, how often do you repeat them?
Well, Rudy Giuliani, thank you very much for talking with
us. Thank you very much.
Rudolph Giuliani, consultant, former mayor of New York City, and author of the book, Leadership.